More hit and miss rain events for central and southern Indiana. That's coming up here on the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this, the 9th day of June, 2021. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and market analysis all on the way. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin does have his latest Indiana farm forecast on the way. He'll talk about the potential for more rain across the state. Coming up in the news, the National Corn Growers Association released its U.S. corn sustainability goals. Ashley Davenport has more on that. And it was a positive day overall for the grain markets. We've got analysis on the way with Arlen Suderman from Stone X. That's coming up. The news starts right now here on Hats. U.S. corn sustainability goals and USDA predicting record farm exports in 2021. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by CountryMark and its member cooperatives, your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. The National Corn Growers Association released its U.S. corn sustainability goals and its first U.S. corn sustainability report on Tuesday. With more, here's Ashley Davenport.
This information comes from the formation of the Corn Sustainability Advisory Group.
Making sustainability is a key component of maintaining and increasing market access opportunities. If we didn't address sustainability proactively as corn growers, we'll either be left behind or we'll be allowing someone else to define it for us. Neither option is a good option, and the truth is that we have a great story to tell.
John Linder is the president of NCGA. Before sustainability was a buzzword, the organization has been collecting data on improvements in corn farming for years.
It's important to recognize that farmers across the country have adopted practices for many years to defend against soil erosion, improved water quality use, and manage resources and nutrients through continuous improvements found in modern farming.
There are five main goals NCGA wants to reach by 2030. To increase land use efficiency by 12%, increase irrigation water use efficiency by 15%, reduce soil erosion by 13%, increase energy efficiency by 13%, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 13%. With only 9 years to reach those goals, NCGA will be using more technology, said board member Deb Gangwish.
I see more and more farmers around us continuing to adopt various technologies so they can raise their corn crop more efficiently each year. Oh, the other thing we have that's really been key, and we really have been pushing hard to increase this, is our satellite technology imagery. That allows us as farmers to get that peek into our crop health. And we can, again, tackle issues that we have with watering. And, it's all about using only what you need.
I'm Ashley Davenport.
This is Money Minute Financial Tips from the experts at AgriFinancial. With me is Daniel Taylor, underwriter with AgriFinancial, and we're focusing this month on balance sheets and at this time of the year how they can help you determine your break-even and production costs. Daniel, grain prices today are a lot different than they were just a year ago at this time.
Producers have a really good opportunity in 2021 to build some working capital. It's obviously a period of improved crop prices in that cycle.
Which means this year's balance sheet is going to look a lot different than last year's.
That's really why this annual break-even analysis is so important, because while we've got higher crop prices, now we've got higher input prices. So we really need to figure out, as producers, where we're at on that scale to know exactly what that production cost is going to be for 2021, because it's going to look a lot different than it did in 2020 and in years past.
For more information, visit cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
All right, Gary, thanks. USDA says fiscal year 2021 will be a good year for American farm exports. In the latest quarterly ag trade forecast, the agency says farm exports will total $164 billion, which would be the highest total in history. That includes a historic $35 billion to China alone. You can read more on this and find other farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
A very humid and active weather pattern continues over the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. All right, we had some decent thunderstorms overnight last night, mostly central southern Indiana, but even saw some stronger stuff get a little bit farther north. Here for your Wednesday, hit-and-miss scattered showers and thunderstorms will also have a decidedly more southern bias. Central and southern Indiana, I think, can see a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain scattered about today. The northern half of the state, northern third of the state, may only just see sprinkles to maybe a quarter of an inch, so we will see. Going through tomorrow, we definitely see moisture holding on, but drying out more north than south. And by the time we get to Friday, we do see partly to mostly sunny skies in all areas. Temperatures, though, still staying very, very warm. So at least two more days of significant moisture in central and southern Indiana, not so much up north. Now, as we go into the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, mixed clouds and sunshine. Overnight, Saturday night into Sunday, I won't rule out a few hit and miss scattered showers. I think you're looking at coverage 40%, few hundreds to a tenth or two, that is all. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, partly to mostly sunny and warm. Temperatures, though, aren't quite as warm as what we're experiencing right now. So normal to above, but not well above normal like what we've been seeing this week. And the humidity values for the first half of next week will not be as high either. That's going to be a key here in terms of how everything feels. So going farther, the tail end of next week, we keep the drier bias at this point in time, not seeing any significant fronts work through. So I think after this week's normal to above normal precipitation pattern, next week is going to be swinging back the other way. The biggest key, without as much heat and humidity, we don't see as much instability next week. I think that's right there the main reason why we're seeing the difference between the two. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by CoAlliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. We'll have final numbers on the way in just a few moments, but first, I've got Arlen Suderman here, Chief Commodities Economist with Stone X. And Arlen, overall, a pretty solid day in the grain markets. Let's talk about soybeans, if I can slip in a sports reference here. They're the leader in the clubhouse here as we end the day. A pretty solid performance. What's driving that market?
Well, it was kind of a wild day with some big swings, but overall staying positive and really led by the soy oil complex. We're seeing a strong demand for oil with the new renewable fuel production facilities opening up that focus on using soy oil, and the ongoing tight supplies that we have here in the United States and really globally, and demand into China remaining strong. And with the weather risks now over the northwestern half of the Midwest. So soybeans getting support, leading the way based on that strong demand.
And let's talk about corn. Finished a bit quieter, some well off their highs, but still a positive day for corn.
Yeah, and we saw the export shipments data that came out on Monday a little bit on the disappointing side, still above the levels that we need to hit USDA's target. So that's positive, but losing a little bit of the momentum, and that concerned traders. We're still seeing the weather risks provide support for this market, and that's why we're seeing the greatest strength overall in the new crop contracts for corn. Going forward, we're going to need to see that those strong shipments that we're going to China resume the pace once again.
You talk about the weather risk. What is the weather concern right now? It looks like to be hot and dry in certain parts of the area.
Yeah, the moisture levels in the subsoils are dry and low, really across the northern half of the Midwest. And then when you count in, and that stretches all the way west to the Portland, Oregon, so all the way across the top of the country. As we look at this next few days, we should see some good rains in the Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, scattered thunderstorms elsewhere, but overall we're going to end up pretty dry over some core production areas with heat still a factor, and we're expecting the northwestern half of the Midwest to see significant mounting crop stress over the next 2 weeks. In fact, if you add the 16 to 30 day outlook onto that, it looks like we kind of continue that pattern right into the 4th of July holiday weekend.
You mentioned China. What's the story there? Is there still strong demand to China?
there is still strong demand. It did slow this last week, but that's after a ridiculously strong week of shipments of corn the previous week. Soybean shipments from Brazil have been strong. Of course, Brazil is the primary supplier this time of year. And overall, China took about 2.2 million metric tons of soybeans in, mostly from Brazil, last week. So that shipment pace remains strong. We're seeing them start to turn the corner on the second round of African swine fever. And even though hog prices are dropping, which may cut into supplies or in demand for feed in the short term, longer term, we see that demand coming back strong in the second half of this year.
You talk about hog prices. Let's talk about livestock, and let's start there with hogs. What's happening in that market?
Well, the hog market today was a little bit more mixed in nature, but the longer-term fundamentals remain solid. We're seeing strong demand pushing product prices just below those 2014 highs, and hog futures are very similar, just below those 2014 highs. Those 2014 highs were caused by a shortage of hogs due to a disease in the hog herd. This time around, it's due to demand, and that's a good situation to be in. The concerns are the dropping hog prices in China that might erode export demand somewhat as we go forward from this point, and if we see consumer sentiment start to wane and the consumer back off on their spending on meat as they have been over the past 6 months to a year, if they start worrying too much about inflation. But so far, that demand has remained strong.
And what about cattle? What's happening in that market?
The cattle market continues to drift along, chopping sideways. Total disconnect between the product market driven by strong demand and the cash market, where we see packer demand for cattle limited by processor capacity. So we're on the eighth week in a row now when we're looking at pretty much steady cash cattle prices, as the price continues to be just kind of what the packer determines is right that they want to pay, not determined by actual supply and demand forces. Meanwhile, product remains very high demand, very high prices, driven by consumer consumption levels that are quite impressive.
That's Arlen Suderman from Stone X. Let's get to final numbers now from Tuesday, up 0.75 on July corn to 680. Dease corn up 6.75 to 609.5. July soybeans at 1580, up 19.75. Novi beans up 17 to 1457. And Chicago July wheat up a nickel to 685. That is the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.